This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And since this is February, and it's the month of love, and Valentine's Day, I thought that it would be a timely topic for me to talk about the number one reason why relationships hit those rocky places. And it tends to happen as we get deeper into the relationship. You know, that old saying that love is blind, that is so true when we're starting out a new relationship. But as we get deeper into the relationship, it isn't as blind. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to you about some of the dynamics that take place in the evolution of a relationship and how there's a number one reason why relationships all of a sudden go from that blissfulness to that love is blind to OMG, what have I gotten myself into? So I figured the best Valentine's Day gift I can give you is to share some of my information that I have on personality so I can share it in a way that it can help stop a lot of the frustration that surfaces when you and your significant other or your spouse find that you're in a power struggle with each other. So that's today's topic. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you. In addition to doing that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about your relationship, then you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for the U.S. and Canada and also international callers. Just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. Also want to let you know that I just posted my February free giveaway promotion on my website, www.ritberger.com. This month I'm going to be offering an autographed copy of my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It. This book is packed full of valuable information on how personalities look at intimacy, how they define love, the expectations they bring into the relationships, how they look at money and friends and all the different aspects of being in a relationship, how all of these things just seem to, again, work when we first start working at our relationship, but then after it gets to a place where working becomes difficult, then what we can do is we can find ourselves in that place where that we have that breakdown of communication and then in those very difficult times. So the book really looks at each personality and defines specifically how they define, view, expect, and what they expect in relationships. So again, I'm going to be offering that as a free giveaway for my February promotion. So if you would like to enter the promotion, then what I encourage you to do is just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click up on the pop-up that comes on the homepage, or you can click up in the top of my homepage, the enter to win icon. And then all you do is just give me your email address, and then you're all set, and you'll be entered into the drawing. Also, you'll be entered into my database. So the winner's name is going to be drawn on February 28th and will be notified by email. You can also purchase my love book on Amazon.com or HayHouse.com. If you don't want to wait to try to win a copy, then just go to either one of those sites, and then you can purchase the book and use it as a copy. I kind of suggest to people when I'm doing a lot of my couple counseling is to just keep a copy of that book close at hand so you can refer back to it when you find that you hit those rocky places. I also have a very big, giant announcement to announce with you. I wanted to announce that my last radio show on Contact Talk Radio is going to be airing February 25th. I know, please all of you breathe. I've been breathing on this also. What has really taken place is I've been doing weekly radio shows for 10 years now, and I decided that it's just time for me to hang up my headset and turn my mic off for a period of time so I can really focus back on some of the things that I've been wanting to do, such as offering more webinars, more free monthly giveaways, new online classes. I'm going to be doing podcasts, and I'm actually creating some online yearly programs in esoteric studies, and I have a brand new program that I'm going to be launching. It's a soul mentorship certification program where you can become a soul mentor and a coach and counselor to others to help them understand their soul and how to be able to incorporate the wisdom of their soul in their everyday reality and in their decision making. It's a very, very powerful program. I've been doing soul mentoring and my readings for many, many years, and all the things that I have found that are out there, the books on how to change your thoughts, all of them have value. But when we can make that soul become real in a person's mind to the point that the mind, their mind, accepts the soul as being real, it changes the entire dynamics and how they interact with people and then how they live their life and find meaning and purpose. So, and then the last thing I've been missing is that I really want to get back to writing my books. I love writing, and I've got some few books that I've been working on that I just feel it's time for me to get on with it. So, important thing, if you're not in my database and you want to receive notifications of all these exciting things that I have coming up, then again, go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and in the lower left hand side on the homepage is send a comment. Just send a comment to me and that'll enter you in the database, or better yet, enter in the February drawing for the free book, Love What's Personality Got to Do With It. Either way, put you in the database, and that way you'll be insured to receive my notifications when things come up. So again, it's kind of a bittersweet thing. Contact Talk Radio has been absolutely a wonderful home for me, and they're all cheering me on, and I have been welcome. I've been told I'm welcome back at any time, and I don't know if this is forever or sabbatical, but February 25th will be my last show on the radio for a while. So when I'm in teaching my relationship classes or I'm working with couples, I always ask a specific question at the very onset of my time with them. I ask them, what is the number one reason why relationships hit those rocky places? Now, some of the answers that I get is that I get answers such as money. I also get sex, I get friends, I get parenting, and I get the answer of difficulty of communicating. Well, yep, it's true that all of these different contributors can really create a great deal of frustration, tension, and conflict in relationships. However, they're not the number one reason that a relationship finds itself on shaky ground. So, what is that reason? It's values, because values speak louder than anything we do. When our values are being questioned or attacked, communication immediately breaks down, meaning we literally stop talking to each other. Sex is definitely out of the question. And then no matter how much money we have, we can't replace the happiness or buy the happiness we're looking for when we're trying to really come in and to look at that frustration and resentment that we're experiencing. So values. Values really are why we do what we do. Behaviorally, they're more behind the scenes, meaning that we're not really aware of them in ourselves or aware of the values in others until we find ourselves in a power struggle around the values. What we've learned to do is in the conditioning of who we are, and then also learning to fit in. A lot of times we hide those values deeply within us as because we find that it creates many, many conflicts in our lives that are very, very uncomfortable, and we all want to fit, we all want to belong, and we all want to be liked, and we all want to be loved. So when we find ourselves coming in And in these situations where we are in a value power struggle, then what we tend to do is we tend to brush them under the carpet. But it's important to remember that we really can't brush them under the carpet, because they are the very thing that drives our behavior, and most important, they drive our decision. So what we do is that we find that when we get into the power struggle and the adrenaline and the corticosteroid and the cortisol and that fight, flight, freeze takes over, it's like our brain just goes on mush. Now, when that happens, our values are really driving the things we say, the things we do, and how we feel at that point in time. When we're consciously aware of value differences, it's easy for us to do this give and take or sweep them under the carpet or the rug, and to be able to just figure out how to work with the situation we're in. But when we get into that stress, fight, flight, freeze, those values are front and center, and they're basically driving all of the different things that come out of our mouth, the different emotions that we're feeling, and they create a tremendous power struggle. Even if those values are being compromised just a little bit, we get the same reaction physically and emotionally in the body. When it comes to values, there are basically four types. There's a utilitarian type, there's a traditional type, there's a theoretical type, and a social type. Now, each one of us has a core value, and what that means is that of these four, one of these is most important to us. And then the other values are values that we've learned to work with or to create as kind of coping values so we can be able to fit into our situations. However, that most important is what drives our decisions, and it's what drives our behavior. And the descending values, while important, really help us just kind of get along in life, but they really aren't values that we fall back on to be able to really get into the decisions that we need to make for our reasons. I've said this before on my show so many times, making decisions for our reasons versus others. So remember that one of these four values is most important to you. For example, just to give you an example of how value conflict surfaces, what if your number one value was tradition, being traditional, and your partner or your spouse's value was social? Well, when it comes to deciding what to do, how to do it, and to be able to do it in a loving way, then what we have to do is we have to recognize if the values are different, there's a potential for conflict, and again, a potential for hurt feelings and communication to break down. Why? As I've said it many times, the reason that the number one is so important, because it drives the decisions we make. Basically, it boils down to, if you don't agree with my values and you don't understand my values, then therefore, I'm not going to talk to you. It's like hitting a dead-end street. Nothing's going to happen. And what we feel inside is we feel immediately that we're being asked to compromise our values to accept someone else's. And when we hit that place where we have that compromise, the mind, the brain, the body literally does not want to and cannot do it. So very important to understand the values. So what I want to do is take a brief moment and let's look at the different values and some of the behavior. The utilitarian value focuses on return of their investment of time, money, energy, and resources. Everything they do has to have some sort of payoff to them personally. Not necessarily a payoff to the relationship, but that's the way their values are. They're very individualistic in how they look at their value systems. Their decisions are making based on logic, and they're based on making things happening and then also being productive. They place absolutely no value at all on effort. It's just the bottom line. They're commitment oriented, and they expect the same from others. What that means is if you say you're going to do something, then do it. They don't accept excuses. And what they'll do is if your value system is social, and as I talk about social, you'll find that the values look at life and really move behavior so differently, then what's going to happen is the social person puts other people's needs before their own, and those needs are important. So if someone's needs are there, then, and they've made a commitment, they may not always follow up to that commitment. For utilitarian, that's absolutely unacceptable. They're driven by their individualistic needs, meaning their needs come first and the needs of others come second. They often come across as egocentric, and they are hard drivers. And again, everything is black and white with a utilitarian, and the most important thing to remember is that whatever they're going to give, time, money, energy, or any other resources, they are expecting a payback. And the thing is that we don't always, if we're a different value system, we don't always understand what that payback is, and it can blindside us. So the traditional values, these are people with values that believe that there's a right way of doing things and there's a wrong way of doing things, and the right way of doing things is doing them the traditional way. They want things to be predictable, excuse me, and people to be accountable for their behavior. Family and community is very important to the traditional value person, and they really find that if the needs of the family are being compromised, then they're going to find themselves in a power struggle. Always family first, community first, putting others' needs before their own first. Very, very different, as you can see, from the utilitarian values. One of the things with the traditional values is that they focus on upholding the guidelines they believe are important. They will quietly hold their values in until someone crosses them to the point where the person feels that they're being disrespected or they feel that they're being talked down to. Then those traditional values and the decisions that are made around them rear their head, and all of a sudden maybe this kind, gentle, cooperative person is no longer kind, gentle, and cooperative. That means that the values have really been compromised. The theoretical values. The theoretical value person, they're lifelong learners, and the reason for that is that they value expertise and competency. They seek challenging jobs and challenging situations because they really enjoy using their intellect and using it in a way that it makes a difference. They value in-depth conversations, and they avoid small talk. They enjoy conversations that aren't emotionally charged. They want to get right down to the nitty-gritty. They want to understand the problem, and they will immediately jump in, and they will come up with a solution with a problem, even though maybe you're still trying to figure out what the problem is. They really value coming up with new and unique ways of doing things, and they always value logic over emotion. People who have social values, they're motivated to help others and to focus on making other people happy. They want people to get along and can't understand why we just can't accept the differences that surface in the times of the relationship. They are very focused on the quality of their relationships, and it's important for them to be in a good one. They're very team-oriented, they're very partner-oriented, and one of the things about the social values is they always look for the best in everything. As a result, they don't like to dwell on the problem. They don't necessarily want to jump in and try to solve something. It's like, can't we just see the best in everything? And then the solutions become obvious. They also make decisions emotionally, meaning that the decisions have to feel right to them. So those are just kind of a quick glimpse of each of the four different values. And I'm hoping by sharing those bits and pieces, you can start to observe where your values are and use that information to be able to recognize why you find yourself feeling compromised or resentful when you get into places where those values basically become challenged. So what I want to do now is I want to jump in. Hi, Kim from California. How are you, sweetie?
Good. How are you, Carol?
I'm good, honey. How can I help you?
Good. Well, first I want to say that your radio show will be missed. I've listened to you for 10 years and really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you, sweetie. That helps me a lot.
I took one of your personality classes probably 15 years ago up in Auburn.
Wow. Oh, and, yes, you did. I knew your energy was familiar.
Yeah, and actually had a session with you back then as well. So I have pulled out some of my book. Well, pulled them out there on my Kindle, Personality in Your Health, Personality in I think I have a relationship one as well, and been reading, rereading those. So I'm a green, and I believe I'm also an orange. One of the things about my personality, when I take a personality test, I always waffle between the answers.
Yes.
And I think that's part of my green, but I know I'm not, well, I guess nobody is. We're not all 100%. We have a dominant one and then a secondary one, or primary and secondary. So is that right, though, green and orange?
It is. It is. And your preference is you're green wanting to always fit in situations because greens are chameleons. They have a wonderful adaptability about themselves to literally fit in every situation. And so what you've learned over the course of your life is that in order to fit in every situation, you very effortlessly, and your numbers are really close that I'm feeling, you very effortlessly move into that orange personality type as you're coping. But the most important thing about that green-orange combination, sweetie, is to remember that you make decisions based on emotion. And when you get into situations where your emotions aren't being valued, you'll automatically step into the orange to try to get a different perspective to figure out why you're feeling so compromised. And what the orange does is it gets in, and that orange behavior is, okay, so this doesn't feel right. Well, then let's switch over and let's make sense of what we're dealing with so we can find a different approach to make it feel right. So what this says is do not compromise your emotional decision making. If you try to step in and make decisions as a green because you don't want to create conflict and you're being pressed into something and a decision that doesn't feel right to you and you're just going to go along with it immediately, your orange is going to come in and go, I don't think so. It's okay to say I'm not quite ready. I need to just kind of look at this a different way. I need to feel it. It doesn't feel right. And the orange gives you permission to basically speak up and to say, you know, this just isn't feeling right. And so it's a wonderful helper and a wonderful tool for you when you get in that decision-making process. One of the things that does feel that's really been probably a lot of the energy of 2014 added to this, sweetie, is that your yellow seems to keep coming up. So I'll share how that feels to me. Your green is extremely creative. I mean, that's the gift of the green. Oh my gosh, you guys are like walking ideas always in motion. And you're always looking for creative ways to do things different. And you love the energy around creativity. In your own life, while the creativity is a wonderful gift, my sense is it hasn't always been valued as such. So your orange comes in and protects you and says, okay, so this is where it is. Now I'm finding your yellow coming in and saying, okay, so how can I take my creativity? I've got rid of the emotional charge and all the criticism around it. How can I take that creativity and move it into action? And that's what your yellow does. It helps you put together a plan. It helps you put together a strategy. It helps you see the problems from a clearer perspective because your green is kind of jumping all over in your mind trying to, you know, do it all at one time. That's just your neurology, no criticism. But your yellow comes in and says, okay, let's just focus it. Let's narrow it down a little bit. Where do you really want to put your time and energy? How do you want to use this creativity? And how can you take this creativity, move it into action so you can manifest what you desire? So that yellow is really prevalent in you right now as you're putting together your plan to move forward in sharing your green gifts and that emotional part of who you are to the world, meaning other people, no matter how many, energetically to the whole group consciousness, to be able to let your light shine in the truth of who you are and to be able to bring voice to what you desire to make a difference in this world. So there's big changes, And that one of the things with the coping personality is that, yes, we have a preference. Your preference is orange. That's to remind you, make an emotional decision. Kim, don't make a logical one. Don't compromise yourself, sweetie. But okay. Your ability to, as a green, especially as a green, to go into that yellow, to come up with a strategy, to go into the orange, to elicit others' input, to go to your green to make sure that the creative desire is still there and intact. You just flex. It's a wonderful quality that greens have to be able to utilize personality in a way that it can move them forward in a very healthy way. The color that is the lowest in your field vibrationally is red. When you find, yeah, when you find yourself truly compromised, your green is all of a sudden going to just rear its head like this great big dragon, and what spews out of your mouth in that four-letter word isn't love. And what right. It's basically doing, it's saying to people, back off. You're pushing your values on my values. You're asking me to compromise. The gift of a green is when you hit that place, honey, it's so clear to you this is not where you should be.
Mhm. Yeah, oh boy, you hit the nail on the head.
Yep.
You absolutely hit the nail on the head. And rereading it over the past week and a portion this morning that I was reading in the personality and your health, one of the things that was so evident to me is I've always felt like, gosh, Kim, just stick with something. Why are you flitting? Flitting from here to there. And that's emphasized in the book. That is one of the elements of the green.
It is.
And feeling inauthentic because the chameleon aspect, and that's been that I just turned 50 this past summer, and one of my goals was really to focus on authenticity and
exactly.
being very assertive from that point of authenticity. And so it's really nice to read that and know, well, it's not that I'm being inauthentic in these situations. I'm trying to fit in, you know, that chameleon aspect.
Exactly. And to remember that your neurology and how you gather information has a lot of aspects to it. It's like a big TV screen with a bunch of little individual shows running simultaneously in these little squares all over that big screen. Your brain is trying to take the information and connect the dots. It's trying to visually see how this fits. It doesn't go in and immediately, like the orange, to the past. The way the orange, true orange personality does, it's always looking to the future. That takes time. It's not flittiness. It's just neurology trying to find a common thread, a common ground. Mm-hmm. However, with the green, because they are so flexible, because they have been viewed flighty by other personalities and their values, you've been told you don't stick with anything. That is not true. When you go in and you find something, sweetie, that is near and dear to your heart and you feel passionate about, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to get in your way. You're like a dog on a bone. You are focused, heads down, time-oriented, commitment-oriented. Always, greens are always commitment-oriented. But I mean, you're marching to your authentic drummer to manifest truly what you desire. Other people will see you so different, like you grew an extra head. Mm. And then your orange steps in and goes, oh, well, you know, they're just not really seeing the big picture. It's okay, but you really should think about their other feelings and everything. And then your yellow comes in, that warrior comes in and goes, oh, no, 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 we're not going to do that. We're just going to continue the way that we're heads down to do. So, again, that is neurology. All of you listening who live with greens or have green siblings, there is nothing wrong. The thing that becomes wrong is they get chastised for being green. Like Kermit the Frog said, it's hard being green. You get chastised for doing it, and then you want to sweep that green and those values under the rug. And it works until you get pressed too hard, sweet. But lots of exciting things I'm picking up for you, Kim, this year, and the yellow stepping in. And what your green may do is when it steps in, you may feel like you're just really fixated. Just know that that's part of the process of learning how to live with that yellow kind of wanting to make a difference and how it focuses and plans and strategy and deadlines and everything. It's just part of that yellow, and find the best of the yellow. In fact, you can read the yellow in the book, Your Personality, Your Health. And either make notes on another piece of paper or highlight the parts of the yellow that you're feeling right now, and those will become your greatest strength for you to be able to manifest what you desire this year.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome, and thank you, sweetie, for your kind words. We've got three more weeks together, so we're just going to make the most of it. All right, what I want to do is take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come back and take calls, and I'm going to share what you can do when you find yourself in a situation where your values have been compromised. Stay tuned.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is on values and how values, how important they are, and how values really impact not only our behavior, but the decisions we make, and how we can get along with people up to a point, but the minute the values are actually stepped on, we're not as easy to get along with. So I'm talking about that. Also, I wanted to remind you, a very quick reminder, that my 2015 Divine Appreciation Webinar is now available for purchase on my website, www.reitberger.com. If you want to learn more about the topics that I cover in the webinar, and then also how I defined a divine appreciation, then just go to my website. And what you can do is just go to the slide on the top of the homepage that says 2015 Divine Appreciation. Just click on that page and that slide, and what it'll do is it'll take you to a page, and it's just got a lot of information about the webinar and the topics that I cover. And it also has information on how to purchase it right there online. Purchase it immediately. Download it to any device that does an MP3 format, and you can learn more about divine appreciation. This year is all about looking at ourselves and our lives differently. And when we look at ourselves and our life through the eyes of our soul, then we experience divine appreciation, because divine appreciation sees the best of the best in every situation. It sees the best of the best of who we are. It doesn't look for problems, and it isn't necessarily looking for solutions. It just is allowing us to see our world, our reality differently in a way that we can connect with our soul heart. And the purpose of that is so we can make that soul and the soul heart energy real in our mind to the point when we get those intuitive hits or we get those feelings of knowing that we know, but we don't know how we know, the mind doesn't immediately go in and negate those knowings in a way that we find ourselves just repeating old patterns. So these are some of the things that I touch on in the 2015, the Year of Divine Appreciation download. So you can go in and find out everything on Ritberger.com. It's important to remember that values are really entrenched in our brain hardwiring. And in my world, that hardwiring is around personality. But in the case of values, what we're really looking at is the part of personality that is decision making. Not so much how we gather information, but how we make decisions. And because values are an integral part of that hardwiring, they can't be changed. And the reason they can't be changed is that they're part of your survival in the reality that you experience at any moment. But what you can do is you can create a second place value system that makes it easier for you to interact with other people. So when I shared that there are four primary value systems and that you have a number one value that is most important to you, that is true. But what you will do over the course of your life is you create a secondary value system, and then they go in descending order. The lowest of value in the descending order of values is that when those values rear their head, then you are in a place of fight, flight, freeze. So it's very important for you to know your number one value system. The others help you cope, they help you fit, they help you belong, but the one that will always create the power struggles, always create the resentment, the tension, cause that anger to well up inside of you is when that number one value system is really being compromised. So when you find yourself dealing and interacting with someone whose number one value system is different than yours, it's important, first of all, to remember that you don't need to sacrifice your value system, your number one value system, just to get along with them. In fact, if you do, then it's going to stop the interaction altogether. Now, this is the value of that second value system, because what you can do is you can move into that value system. So say, for example, that your value system, number one value system, is that social system, and that if that social system and the way that it views your reality and how you choose to interact in it becomes compromised, it may very well be that your second value system, that second in descending order, or what I call that coping value system, might be theoretical. It might be that you say, well, okay, there's compromise here. I'm feeling like I'm being, put in a box, or that I'm not being respected. Then what you can do is you can go, and in that social value system, using that coping one, you can say, oh, well, there must be an opportunity for me to learn something from this. And it takes you out of that compromise, puts you into that secondary, and now that theoretical part becomes a very interactive exchange with the other person, to the point where you listen, you pay attention, you look for those hidden clues and cues, the voice tone, the body language, so you can learn how to be able to deal with this person in the future more effectively without you getting caught in this place of compromise. So it's important to remember that don't sacrifice your number one value, but go in and really take these four different values, utilitarian, the traditional, the theoretical, and the social, and prioritize them. And that will help you know how you will work and interact with people should you find yourself in a conflict situation. So I want to share some more ideas on how you can really find yourself a means of being able to really not compromise your values or sacrifice them when you find yourself in a value war. But I want to jump in to Debbie from San Diego. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hopefully I can make 2 years worth of events in a short period of time. I know. Well, I was just going to listen. I wasn't going to call in. When you said it was regarding relationships, I thought, oh, that's my cue, and I got right in. So
good
I
girl.
Feel like you have something to say to me. Yeah.
Yep.
So long story short, I dated a gentleman for 2 years, and I had just been off of a divorce 2 years prior, so I wasn't ready for a relationship to the extent that he was. We ended up breaking up a year ago, last December, and he moved on very fast. He found a new girlfriend within like 3 weeks. And in that point in time, I realized that I had indeed fallen in love with him and wanted to recapture what I had lost. Mm-hmm. So for the last year, we've been playing cat and mouse. And I think he's still seeing this woman, and I am also dating. He keeps calling me and telling me he misses me, he loves me, we're spiritually connected, and then doesn't contact me for anywhere from a week to a month. And I guess I need guidance on, should I just let him go? Is he still seeing this woman? Do I continue to date? Do I not date and make room for him to come back into my life? So I'm hoping you can kind of shed some light on that.
I can. So the first thing is, you feel to me like you have something I call commitment anxiety. Now let me tell you what that really means. You don't seem to fall deeply into relationships in the first date, maybe even the second date. Commitment is very, very important to you. Accountability around that commitment feels very important to you. Is that true, sweetie?
That is very true.
So what occurs is that you're going to naturally enter into relationships with almost a sense of skepticism. It isn't that you're looking for something wrong in the other person to justify why you're not willing to jump in head first or head over heels into a relationship, but actions have to speak louder than words. Their behavior has to be consistent. It has to be predictable, not from the standpoint where it's like putting on a uniform that this is the way it needs to be. But those are the things that are part of your value system that are really, really important. Now, this particular person had a lot of the qualities, it feels to me, that you were looking for. It seems like he brought a sense of lightness to the relationship because your personality feels like it has a very serious side to it, meaning that, again, serious meaning that, you know, we just need to do what we say we're going to do. We need to be responsible. We need to be accountable. And so what you do is you put those values first. What he offered to you was, okay, well, this is all fine and dandy, but you know what? Let's just have some lightheartedness. That you loved that about him. But if you step back and you look at his pattern, sweetie, what you will find is that he's never been truly, truly predictable. His pattern is that he says he's going to do something, and I honestly believe in his heart and in his mind, he has full intention of doing that, but he feels to me like he easily gets distracted. He also has an insecurity about him that he measures himself on being in a relationship. That relationship can be short-term, it can be long-term. As long as it's good, he's there. If it isn't good, or he's being asked to do things that he doesn't want to do because that means that he has to settle down. It means that he has to be really attentive. He has to do all the things. He has to put his needs on the back burner, all these things. Then he just doesn't match you at all. I do believe that he loves you. And the reason I say that is not to fluff your aura. However, I hope it did. But I believe that he loves you because I believe that you offer to him the steadiness in a relationship and the consistency and the commitment in a relationship that he truly, truly desires. What feels like he struggles with is that if he is to jump back into that relationship, that means that he is going to have to honor the way you look at commitments. I don't honestly know if he can do that because of his insecurities. I do believe, it feels to me, that he is seeing the other person and probably honestly looking for another person. Not because he doesn't want you and not because he doesn't love you, but look at him, sweetie. That's his pattern. He gets his highs on making people feel good, on being attentive, on being jovial, on being bringing that lightheartedness to a relationship. But if the relationship gets to the point where the rubber has to hit the road, he's always looking for plan B. You have to decide whether you really want to jump into that. Okay. Or what you do is you do exactly what you're doing, cat and mouse. There's no harm in doing that because it's allowing you to see where he is and allowing you to really decide where you want to put your time and energy. You are ultimately looking for a partner. You are ultimately looking for a lifetime commitment. Until you get all those I's dotted, those T's crossed with anybody, him or anybody, and you feel like you're being disrespected because of not having him do what he says he's going to, until that is worked out and behavior changes so you really can feel like you can love him, so you can be vulnerable to him, which is what you want to be able to do, then the cat and mouse is the best thing to watch behavior and to ask yourself, has it really changed or is it just continuing on the way it was? Some point in time in the very, very near future, probably in the next 30 days, I would encourage you to really ask him how committed he is to loving you, and is he willing to walk away from relationships so you are the only person in his life? The answer to that will tell you where to go from here.
Well, I asked him that probably 3 weeks ago, and I didn't hear from him for a couple of weeks. And then he called me a week ago tomorrow, Thursday, and he said that he missed me, he loves me, he's not seeing anyone else, that he feels such a spiritual connection to me that he would never not let a major amount of time go by without communicating with me, and he wanted to come over and wanted to see me. And I told him no, he couldn't come over unless he was not seeing someone else. And I haven't heard from him in a week now. And
yes.
I am dating someone else, and I don't know if I need to let this person go either to let, because I know that this one I'm dating now is not a long-term relationship. So,
correct.
I don't know. I'm in
the Okay.
Boat.
So in this particular case, so the person that you're dating right now, the gift of him is that you are learning a lot about you. There's value in it. He's learning a lot about himself. There's value in it. Keep this one going day to day, week to week, and just because there's true value for both of you in this. It may very well blossom into what both of you are looking for, but right now the value is it's connecting each of you to your deepest self so you can be very clear on what you're looking for in a relationship and he can be clear in his. The other person, just here's how it feels to me. And it feels like inside you've already let this person go. You can't deal with this unpredictability. In this particular case, it feels to me what I'm feeling at this moment, because that's the only way I can read you, is that he needs to go away.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what your timeline is. You put it together. If this doesn't feel right to you at the moment, then stay, sweet. But if it does feel right to you, then what is put together a timeline. It sounds kind of harsh, but give him a timeline. So are you going to be comfortable waiting 3 weeks for him to pop up? If the answer is no, are you going to be comfortable 2 weeks waiting for him to pop up? I do believe there's a spiritual connection, but just because there's a spiritual connection doesn't mean that the relationship can work. As he said, he will call you, but you don't want to be waiting. This is not who you are.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I just had
so if it's if you're going to give him 8 days, 9 days, 5 days, put together what you can live with and then stay hard and fast to that and watch the pattern. That's going to let you know whether this can work or not. Because I'll tell you, you are looking for a long-term relationship, sweetie, whether it involves marriage or it doesn't. You want somebody that you can share your dreams with, that's on the same page, that shares the same values, that really wants to make a difference in this world. And that takes commitment, and that takes accountability.
And do you see someone on the horizon? Hopefully not in that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And honestly, I'm not sure that the person that you're dating may not be that person, very honestly. because there are a lot of threads of kindredness between you and this person. I find some friendship there that is unique for where you are in the dating process. So it may very well be that the path to take right now is to just let this one unfold. And when it reaches the place that it's done, you'll know it. If it reaches the place where it goes to the next step, then you have a chance to go the next step. But I can't tell you clearly, honestly, because that this person may not be the one you're looking for.
Okay, thank you. You are so right in so many things that you've said. I'm an orange, too, so kind of got that right, too.
Yes, and so from that particular standpoint, family values, tradition, commitment, putting the needs of others, the people who are important before their own, is paramount to you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you need safety, security, and a steadfastness in your relationship. And this other person that you're seeing has each of those three qualities. I'm not trying to sell him to you, but I'm telling you that those three qualities that are first and foremost in your value system, this person you're dating does match those values. Now, if he does, then you can decide, is there something else about him that just doesn't match?
Okay.
So, a thought. You are the type of personality that you would be better off alone than compromising that beautiful orange integrity, that authenticity of who you are.
Okay.
I can say it another way, and so all the rest of my listeners, hang on here. Another way is that emotionally, this gentleman that keeps popping up feels right to you. But what his actions do doesn't make sense to you. And until you can until you can reconcile those two things, it's not going to work.
I dated him for 2 years, and none of his personality traits that I have seen ever showed themselves in the 2 years that I dated him. So
exactly.
It makes me wonder, who is he? Is he the person I dated for 2 years, or is he the person I see now? I don't know.
He is a lot of the qualities of the person that you were. Your ex.
Okay.
Food for thought.
Okay, thank you.
You are most welcome, my love. All right, what I want to do is I want to go in and look at these values just a little bit more and kind of do an overview and then give you some ideas on how you can work with them. Remember that values, the number one reason that relationships get rocky is there's a different value system. And in that, those values are actually connected to your neurological hardwiring. In my world, that is your personality color. If you don't know your personality color, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the slide, what color is your personality, and then you can take the assessment. So what do you do when you find yourself in a value war? Remember, first and foremost, you cannot change their values. But what you can do is acknowledge that there's a difference in values and then drop the need to be right. Drop the need to convince them that your values are really what's important and their values are not important. Don't ask them to rethink their values. Realize that what matters to you most doesn't matter to them. Find a way to accept their values, but most importantly, avoid criticizing them. And also, tell them when they're compromising your values and when you are literally feeling criticized, and find your voice and let them know that. What it's going to do is to speak up and say, you're trying to convince me that your way is right, yet your way doesn't feel right to me and it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical and I can't accept that. In saying that, what you do is you acknowledge the different values on both side of the fence, and it'll make it easier for you to avoid conflict. Listen to when others are talking, because they're actually telling you what matters the most to them. This is going to reveal their values, and it's going to reveal how they, what drives the decisions they make. So if their values are more in the utilitarian and the theoretical, they're going to be logical decision makers. If their decisions are more in the traditional and the social, they're going to be emotional decision makers. And if you're a logical decision maker, then what's going to happen is it's going to create conflict. So accept, don't criticize, and learn to work around value differences. Thank you so much for listening to me. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love. It's been a great morning to spend with you.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.riteberger.com. See you soon.